listening to the Friday edition of Straight Talk Money. I'm Peggy Tuck along with Charles Sizemore. And you too can join us. We'd love to have any questions or comments you'd like to add. 844-305-7800. That's 844-305-7800. Or, you know, you can always go to straighttalkmoney.com. Send me an email and we will be glad to get your question or comment out on the air. The past year, especially, commodities have really just been taking it on the chin, Charles. I mean, they've been getting beaten up, whether it's gold or, you know, silver or whatnot, copper. But I was really, really surprised to find one, and this is something we have talked about on the show today. Never really thought of it as a commodity, but it actually has been, I guess, categorized as a commodity. And it has been soaring in 2016, and that is none other than Bitcoin.
I know. It's remarkable. And let me back up for a second. You know, one of the reasons that commodities have been beaten up so badly this year is because the dollar is strong. Because, you know, think about it. Commodities are priced in dollars, so a strong dollar by definition means a weak everything else. So the fact that Bitcoin has done that well is all the more impressive because it's competing against a very strong dollar. Now, I do not currently have any money in Bitcoin, and part of the reason is I do take Mr. Buffett's advice to not really invest in something that you don't fully understand. And I understand the concept of Bitcoin,
right.
But there's a few things I've just never been able to get a good answer about, and that's, you know, what would prevent somebody from hacking your Bitcoin account and
effectively
robbing
you
money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people always tell me, well, but it's encrypted, but this, but that, and I'm like, yeah, but I mean, how? I barely know what that means, and I mean, I'm not a computer guy. I'm fairly savvy with them, but I'm not. You know, it's not like I'm one of those NSA computer, you know, egghead guys or something. I mean, I don't really know what that means, so I'm very reluctant to put any real money into something that I don't understand. But I absolutely understand the appeal of why somebody would like Bitcoin, because when you see all of, you know, every major currency in the world, their central banks are engaged in all sorts of shenanigans right now. I mean, that's been going on for nearly 10 years. And then the traditional safe havens, you know, where you would normally put your money if you wanted to get it out of the financial system, would be gold. I mean, that's, you know, the you know, gold and the Swiss franc the Swiss franc is part of the financial system, of course, but like if you're talking about getting out of the dollar, getting out of the mainstream currencies, normally you'd put your money in the Swiss franc or in gold. Well, the Swiss are as guilty as anybody. Actually, they're more guilty than most about financial shenanigans these days. They actually are the Swiss were actually sort of leading the charge in negative interest rates. So, you know, you don't really – that's not an option. And then gold has just been obliterated lately. So, you know, when you're kind of out of other options, something like Bitcoin kind of makes sense. Now, I would, again, reiterate, I don't have a single nickel invested in Bitcoin. I mean, who knows? At some point I might. But as of right now, I don't. But I absolutely understand why people are piling into it.
Well, there's a couple first of all, it traded as high as $867 yesterday. And so apparently that overall market capitalization went past $14 billion mark yesterday. Some of the things that the analysts are attributing to why Bitcoin has done so well this year is professional investors are stepping in, as well as something you just touched on, that the world's largest economies, you know, looking outside of our borders, are looking a little unstable. So this might be a hedge for some people. And so, you know, they do have things like the institutional investors. And we're even starting to see credit card companies and people like that are starting to recognize Bitcoin.
And that's interesting. That gives me a little bit more confidence in it. I mean, I know in some ways a cynic might say, well, if it's going mainstream, all of a sudden it might not be that interesting anymore. But I would disagree. I mean, the more large financial players you have legitimizing it, the more likely it is to actually work and the less likely it is to just, you know, go the way of the dodo bird. So I would say if this is going to make it as an alternative currency, it's good to see the financial system backing it and getting behind it and, you know, having skin in the game.
Now, another area that maybe if you happen to be a holder of Bitcoin out there that you might want to be thanking is China, because especially those that have held on to it since it collapsed in 2014, they can be thanking the Chinese government, because Chinese volume, the trading volume on the exchanges outpaced the volume in the U.S. And of course, what's happening is the decline in the value of the, the Chinese renminbi.
Yeah. Well, also think about it. I mean, if you're a Chinese national, you're not an idiot. You know your government is up to no good. I mean, these,
Don't say it out loud.
Russia, well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that you don't have to say it out loud. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the Chinese government fudges their numbers. Everybody knows the Chinese government has their hands in everything. So if you're, you know, just the, you know, John Q. average Chinese citizen, you're thinking, well, I want to protect my wealth. I don't really trust the financial system here. You know, if you're not a billionaire or, you know, not a multimillionaire, you really realistically can't go buy assets. You know, a lot. I mean, think about Vancouver. The reason property prices are off the charts is because, you know, Chinese millionaires have gone and, you know, they want to have their assets outside of China, so they go bid up property prices in places like Vancouver. Well, if you're middle class, you can't do that. You don't have access to that kind of money. So, but you can, you know, you could buy some Bitcoin or something. You can get a little bit of your wealth outside of the financial system by doing that. So I think you're seeing some of that as well.
All right. So Bitcoin rears its head right here at the end of the year, just when we thought it was going nowhere. You know, we might be surprised. We're seeing, you know, more and more backing of it. And it's not the only cryptocurrency out there. We do want to bring that up as well. It's probably just been one of the ones that's gotten, because of some controversy and things of that nature, that has gotten so much, airplay, you know, on it.
It's been around kind of longer than the rest. I mean, it's the closest thing to an established option as we have right now. But you're right, there are definitely others, and who knows, one of those others might end up trumping it.
Well, you know, I have to mention this in China, and folks, I was trying to find the story once again today, but I saw a great article speaking on China, you know, because there's so much talk about how we want to bring manufacturing back into the U.S. and all of our manufacturing is going over into, you know, all these other countries. There's actually a Chinese billionaire, Charles. He is moving his production for his company to the United States because it can be done cheaper here.
You know, truth is always stranger than fiction, isn't it? That's that's interesting. Now, I would, you know, kind of reading between the lines, let's get serious. American labor is obviously much more expensive than Chinese labor. So if he's saying it's cheaper over here, what would that actually mean? It probably means he's going to have a fully automated, you know, factory, you know, something that's where the robots are basically building things instead of people. And why would that be cheaper here? Well, chances are the robots were manufactured here. Chances are the end market where he's selling the product to is here in the U.S., so he's saving on transportation cost. So I can believe it. I mean, if you're taking labor out of the equation, I believe it.
And it was going to create some jobs. I forget it. It might have only been maybe 3,000 or 4,000 jobs, but it would create jobs here in the United States. But I thought it was a great headline.
Sure.
Because we hear so much, and of course, with the new administration coming in and all the talk of, you know, bringing the manufacturing back on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have the opening bells, and then we're going to tell you about some of those stock picking rules that you might could beat the market elites with. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, bringing you the wisdom of Wall Street.